fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're recapping Sunday's action.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Heath, and Chris.
Melvin Gordon, and the rest of the National Football League. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. It's Monday, and hi, I'm excited. I think we're going to have fun today. Yeah,
it's gonna be a day of reckoning.
I'm not even mad. I'm actually laughing. I think it's funny that you think I'm mad. Actually,
I don't think you're mad.
Because I'm not. I'm laughing.
He's really mad.
I'm actually laughing.
No,
I think it's hilarious.
That Melvin Gordon's good, or that people.
I think it's funny. Actually,
he's doing a thing, Adam. Just move on.
Not even mad.
Let's move on.
I'm gonna handle this.
This is what happens when I go to Chris early in the show. I try to get him more involved right off the bat, and he does a thing.
Always a mistake.
Well, good morning. Good morning,
Chris Tower is always better. I think we can all agree. Good morning, Adam.
You know, I don't know how to feel right now.
Okay.
I tied last night.
That's why we should always have decimal scoring.
It was 0.5. We have 0.5 scoring. It was like...
No, that's not good enough. Every yard counts.
I agree.
Why don't you make it that way in the leagues you commish?
I don't commish this league. It was such a brutal tie, too. I was up 20 points in PPR with Derek Carr and Michael Crabtree, and he had Latavius Murray. How on earth did I lose? I mean, all those one-yard touchdowns, even the touchdown pass from Carr to Murray that gets called back for a Murray run. This is 2 weeks in a row with just like brutal results, but this was a tie, so I can't be that upset about it, I guess.
I mean, ties are, touchdowns are predictive, Adam.
Oh, stop. Stop right now. Stop right now. I don't like that thing. So actually, that's a good segue into hate mail. We got a crap load of hate mail to start the show. It's all hate tweets, actually. So I'm not even going to read who it's from, but. Is that would just slow us down. So here we go with a barrage of Melvin Gordon hate mail. Sold high on Melvin Gordon to my wife. Endless mockery ensues. Hashtag thanks, Heath.
If you were ever going to sell high on somebody, it should be to your wife.
Right? Like, it was. You're good. Welcome.
I'm glad.
You're welcome, Rob.
Yeah. All right, next up. I traded Melvin Gordon for Le'Veon Bell because you guys said sell high. I want Gordon back. Bad advice.
Oh, yeah. It didn't work out one game. One game.
I would still rather have Le'Veon Bell.
I would too. In fact, actually, I've gotten a few questions. Should I sell Melvin Gordon for someone like Le'Veon Bell? And I think you have to, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Melvin Gordon still has his bye coming up, right?
He does.
That alone would be a reason to do it.
Yeah. But by the way, Le'Veon Bell hasn't scored a touchdown this year.
Because he's bad.
Ben is bad.
Yeah, well, and they also just lost their center. We'll talk about that. More hate mail. Heath getting roasted on Twitter after his Melvin Gordon hot takes LOLs on the sell high.
That was good.
Here you go. Here's, one to Heath. You and Chris are the reasons I dealt Melvin Gordon. He even put Melvin Gordon actually in the tweet. You and Chris are the reasons I dealt Melvin Gordon for DeAndre Hopkins and James White. If this crap continues, you two are dead to me.
Fair.
Yeah, fair. From Patrick, remember when Heath Cummings was telling everyone to sell high on Melvin Gordon? So glad I ignored him.
Happy for you.
And then we've got Brandon who says, man, that Melvin Gordon is a bum.
Yep.
And one more, we need a poll on how many weeks it will take Heath Cummings to admit that Melvin Gordon is good.
There was another one you skipped.
Yeah, it wasn't
hope
that
you guys
funny.
Got something really good when you sold high on Melvin Gordon. I did.
What'd you get?
Amari Cooper and Latavius Murray.
That's pretty good.
Yes. I'm not. Nobody ever.
You know what? Chris is frustrated by this. Chris is leaving. I'm not frustrated.
No, Chris, you need to have fun with this. People are having fun with it. Let's just have.
I know. I'm having fun with it. It's great.
I'm sorry. I feel like I deserve punishment.
Yeah.
And so, like, we have these bets sometimes where we have to do certain things if we lose, and I lost here, and I want to put this to bed. I want to end it. So I'm going to thoroughly and completely embarrass myself to make everyone else feel better.
Okay, I'm all about that. This wasn't even my idea.
Yeah, no, this is me.
Let's do it.
Falling on the sword. I can't sing. I'm going to sing a song that I wrote just for Melvin Gordon.
Wow.
Song, Heath.
to the tune of the great, the late great Johnny Cash's "Understand Your Man." Do you know this song?
I don't know the song.
I thought that would make it better.
I'm gonna pull up the lyrics though.
Okay, Chris, you know this song.
Sure.
All right. I can't sing. I don't care. Are you ready?
All right, here we go. I got the lyrics. Go for it.
Don't call the owner of Odell or Gurley. They aren't even in his class. Don't send your data to give me no reason. You'll look more like an ass.
Ooh.
You just cite the same old stats you've been citing all along. Sit there in your clown suit, keep your mouth shut, cause he's gone. Don't give me that old familiar cry and fuss and moan. Understand, Melvin. I'm tired of your bad mouthing. Understand, Melvin.
Yeah. All right. I think that settles it. No more getting on Heath. He sang on the air. He wrote a parody, for God's sake.
In all seriousness, he's looked phenomenal the last 2 weeks. Better than he's ever looked. And we were wrong. It's pretty clear. There's no actual way to defend it or change it. We were wrong. Like, we didn't see Melvin Gordon playing this well. I certainly didn't.
Right. And the last 2 weeks, he's just played outstanding. ESPN had some stats from yesterday's game. He had 95 yards after contact, and that he now leads the NFL with 398 rushing yards after contact. And he had 101 yards before contact yesterday, the most by a Charger since 2011, again, according to ESPN.com. And so props to their offensive line. They did lose Orlando Franklin to a concussion yesterday. But I did a Twitter poll. I wasn't surprised by the results. I'm not sure which way I stand on this. I said, who would you rather have, Melvin Gordon or Jay Ajayi? I don't think people really factored in that Gordon has a bye week. So let's just get that out of the, forget that and say you can replace him with somebody decent. 75%, I had like 1,600 votes, 75% said they'd rather have Melvin Gordon. And, I mean, look, both have been great, but Ajayi's got two 200-yard games and 110-ish and a touchdown against the Jets. That's really close. Who would you guys rather have, Gordon or Ajayi?
Given the bye week, I'd rather have Ajayi, but all other things being equal, I'd probably rather have Gordon because of his role in the passing game.
I think, I don't remember what Gordon's playoff schedule is. Ajayi's is awful.
Does it matter anymore? Gordon's playoff schedule is at Carolina, then Oakland, and at Cleveland. Booyah!
It's good. Gordon. Unless I have to win down the stretch, it's interesting. They play each other this week. We'll find it. We'll just settle it once and for all. I
think they're going to run the ball worse if they have to play linebacker.
I hope that one of them does. Remember what Clinton Portis did? It was right in the middle of Priest Holmes' dominance, and Portis, they played the Chiefs, and Portis had like 150 yards or something and brought with him a belt and put the belt on the sidelines after he scored a touchdown and was saying that he was the best running back in football.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. These guys are great, and I want to play something called True or False, which is really just designed to trick the listener into thinking that it's not buy or sell. It's, in fact, a completely different, more creative segment.
Totally, totally different thing.
Yeah, so true or false, guys. Jay Ajayi would be a top 6 pick in fantasy drafts if we were drafting today.
False. I don't think he'd be a first rounder.
I think he'd be a first rounder. I don't think he would not be top 6, though.
I think he'd
be the number 6 running back.
All right, so who are the top 5 in that case?
Zeke and David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and Melvin Gordon.
Okay, he'd be number 5, probably.
It's LeSean, DeMarco, and
right.
Ajayi,
well,
then.
That's the thing is that like DeMarco Murray's having just as good a season as either, and it's been a whole season.
Except Ajayi's 3 games are better than anything DeMarco's done.
Well, here's the difference though, and Ajayi still is not. He had 3 catches yesterday, minimal yards. So I think I love the guys who are still involved in the passing game. Like Le'Veon Bell hasn't scored a touchdown this year, and he's got 12 or more fantasy points in standard scoring leagues in 4 or 5 games or 3 or 4 games, whatever he's played. I think 4 or 5 because he gets so many receiving yards. So Jai still doesn't have that. That probably puts him behind Gordon, probably puts him behind DeMarco Murray. I think Murray had, what, like 7 catches yesterday?
Yeah, I think I'd rather have 5 running backs before him, and I'd rather have 5 or 6 wide receivers plus Gronk. So I think he's the first or second pick in the second round for me.
Okay. False there. True or false, Spencer Ware owners should sell Spencer Ware because of his upcoming schedule, which is at Carolina, Tampa Bay, at Denver, at Atlanta, who actually has decent run defense here, Oakland, which getting better, Tennessee, Denver in week 16, and then at San Diego. Also, we don't know when Ware's going to be back, but let's say you get word he's coming back this week. Spencer Ware owners should sell high because of the schedule. True or false?
I'll say false because I only see one good run defense there.
I don't see any, really? Like,
Carolina's the only one that's good.
Denver just got gashed by two running backs in a row.
Yeah.
Tennessee just gave up the best game of Melvin Gordon's life.
The Raiders were only good last night. They've not been good against running backs all year. Atlanta is good against the run, but terrible against running backs because they're so bad against pass
and
catching.
Spencer Ware is a great pass catcher.
Maybe Carolina and Tampa Bay, or maybe the better thing is after the next 2 weeks, you should buy low on Spencer Ware.
Okay. True or false, garbage time Blake Bortles is back.
I don't think there's any other kind of Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
I think any time Blake Bortles is on the field is garbage time.
He played so poorly, and I don't get it with the throwing motion. I know that you guys came into the year thinking that he had a pretty bad year last year and whatever. He's regressed. And
yes.
Like he threw the interception through his pathetic. He threw another one right to a Chiefs defender in the end zone. Like, he didn't even see it. Like, he was trying to do it on purpose, it looked like. He threw it right to him. The guy dropped it. But
it was his most accurate pass of the year.
Yeah. But 2 weeks in a row now, he's put up pretty good fantasy numbers. So is he back to being at least a must-own quarterback, Blake Bortles? True or false?
I would not call him a must-own, but I understand why. I mean, if you want to bet on the garbage time, I don't know. Like, against Houston, does he get garbage time?
You have to be able to score.
At Detroit, does he get garbage time?
Yes. I mean, well, no. Detroit actually is not a good matchup anymore.
So I don't know. At Buffalo, Denver at home, Minnesota at home. I'm not really that excited about it.
Okay. I didn't say that. True or false? Not buy or sell. True or false? Devontae Booker is going to be a number two running back at best.
I think it feels a little Jerick McKinney-y, where we got too excited for someone that we haven't seen very much from. I would say he's going to be a number two running back at best. It's true.
I wrote about this today in Believe It or Not, and there's a couple things here. One, he's having to run the ball in different ways than he did when he was just spotting C.J. Anderson. They were running him in the places where they knew he could be successful. He looks extremely indecisive running between the tackles. And I thought after the San Diego game that might be just because his shoulder wasn't 100% and he really didn't want to run into anybody, which would make sense. Mm-hmm. But it's 2 weeks in a row now. I mean, he's a must start this week against New Orleans. What I'm hoping is he has a big game against New Orleans, and then I'm going to try to sell him because I hate his schedule.
Okay. Yeah, it's a bye week after New Orleans, then Kansas City, at Jacksonville, at Tennessee. I don't hate the schedule. New England at Kansas City in week 16 and Oakland in week 17. I just want to say this about Tennessee because Melvin Gordon carved him up for 196 rushing yards. Melvin Gordon's the fourth running back all year to rush for 50 yards against Tennessee. So I don't know what kind of matchup that is, but it was nothing for Gordon. Finally, true or false, Paul Perkins is a must-add running back. He's 40% owned.
In as much as any running back who gets carries is a must-add, but I don't know if he's more worth owning than DeJuan Harris.
Yeah, he basically got the same work as Rashad Jennings and basically was just about as good as Rashad Jennings.
Just about as bad.
Well, just about
me,
as bad.
Let me jump in here because
okay.
It's not easy for you guys to focus on things like this because there were like 6 1 o'clock games going on at once, and I don't play. I mean, it's the same thing. We have to rely on highlights, stats, and whatever we catch. Yes, it's true that the stats were very similar for Perkins and Jennings. They both had 11 carries, 32 yards for Perkins, 26 for Jennings. They both had 3 catches, about the same amount of yards. Paul Perkins was and is so much better.
I've watched Perkins and Jennings both run. Perkins is much the things that we can easily notice about running backs. Paul Perkins looks much better than Rashad Jennings.
Yeah, and they had him in there in crunch time. Like, he was getting the carries when they were killing the clock in a one-possession game at the end, and Jennings got in on the third down interception. But
he played like 30% of the snaps, right?
Jennings played 37 snaps and Perkins played 22 snaps, but it's happening. I don't know if it's going to be week 10, but by week 11, I would think Paul Perkins is getting double-digit carries, and I don't think he's must have because they just lost Justin Pugh. That's a huge injury for them, and we don't know how serious it is, but he's their best offensive lineman by far. I don't know they're going to have much of a running game to begin with, but he's close to a must add, Paul Perkins, I would say. I would say it's mostly true if I were doing the PolitiFact here. Mostly true. Is that what they do, right? PolitiFact?
I think so. Like, they rate it.
Pants on fire.
Yeah, this is not a pants
on fire.
Not pants
on fire.
Well, we're going to get to all the games, winners and losers. First, the big news. Jerry Jones is confident that Ezekiel Elliott won't be suspended. We don't know. We have no idea, but it's worth getting Alfred Morris. Derrick Henry missed yesterday's game after hurting his calf during warmups, and Antonio Andrews got two carries. So, look, if you have DeMarco Murray and this is a serious injury for Henry, Andrews, I guess would be his handcuff, right? Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. No. Like, if he goes down and Henry's not ready and Antonio Andrews is their running back, it's just a lost situation.
He wasn't that. He didn't score last year. I looked at the game log. He was a little better than I thought. But not great. He's like a warm body kind of deal.
Right.
Todd Gurley, apparently he sat for Benny Cunningham on the Rams' last possession. I don't think that's a big thing, but Todd Gurley got a carry on consecutive plays only once all game. It was on their opening drive. Jeff Fisher, after the game, talked about how defenses were taking away the run. I think that's kind of silly because, I mean, what they weren't doing that last year. They had probably a worse passing game last year than they have this year. But I do think it's going to be Goff at some point, guys. And what do you think that would mean for Gurley?
I can't imagine Goff is any good right now. Like, if he can't get on the field right now, and I know we think the Rams coaching staff is terrible, but they're
not terrible.
Like, they're
very
they're,
mediocre.
Yeah, I mean, like, they have their jobs. It's not like they're completely incompetent. If Jared Goff can't even get on the field with the way Keenum's played this season, I have no reason to believe it'll get better.
Yeah. It's really tough with Gurley. I mean, would you rather have Booker or Gurley rest of season?
Gurley.
Yeah, I mean, but Gurley's just like the worst type of must-start player because it's like, you know he's going to get work, which makes it so hard to sit him, but he's just doing nothing.
I will say, in PPR leagues, he's been a number two running back every week but one going into last week.
Okay. Kenneth Dixon left with a bruised chest, and that's an ugly running back situation there, but if you're a Terrence West owner, I guess this is a little bit better. Alex Smith expected to be back this week in Week 10, according to ESPN, but Jeremy Maclin left with a groin injury. Alan Hearns left in the fourth quarter with a concussion. We had a decent game from Marquise Lee. Darius Heyward-Bey has a foot injury, only played 5 snaps. Eli Rogers and Sammy Coates, they both played about 66% of the snaps. Oh my God, Sammy Coates! Like, catch that touchdown, dude! And Roethlisberger missed him on a deep ball early in the game.
Yep.
Very frustrating. Do you guys still have high hopes, if you had them at all, for Sammy Coates?
If Roethlisberger can get healthy.
Yeah,
that's the thing, is that Roethlisberger was clearly should not have played. He did the same thing last season, came back from that knee injury, and struggled in the first game. Hopefully he plays better moving forward.
I'm probably not cutting him, but I'm not starting Ben or Coates or anyone but Brown or Bell from that offense next week. And it's a prove it thing to me because Ben looked awful.
All righty. Marquise Pouncey dislocated his fingers. That's Pittsburgh center. Now, he did miss all of last season. He missed 15 games in 2013. And we saw that their offense was fine with Ben Roethlisberger healthy last year without Pouncey. But this is a big loss. He is a really good center, and that stinks. Saints left tackle, Teron Armstead. He left with a leg injury pretty early in the game, and they put up a huge number at San Francisco. As I mentioned, Justin Pugh for the Giants, their left guard, sprained knee, scheduled for an MRI. Okay, some funny notes for you here. Chris Boswell had the worst onside kick probably of all time.
But they tried, they rushed him, right?
Like,
I think they tried to do the, and maybe this was a different game. I think they tried to do the quick kick.
No, you're thinking of, the Rams game.
Cause that was an awful onside kick too.
They tried to have him kick it with his back foot.
Right.
Oh, okay.
They tried to have him like switch his feet and kick it that way.
Yeah, oh, that's a bad idea.
Please go, Heath, right now and look up the video. amazing. It doesn't go anywhere.
Like, we had so many bad onside kicks this week.
It's
at least
spectacular.
Two.
It's great. Travis Kelce got thrown out for throwing a flag, basically a towel, at the referee. That was funny and inappropriate.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that.
It was pretty dumb. And coaches, please stop going for it on fourth down. Just stop. Take the points. The Eagles were so stupid yesterday. San Francisco did it. Kansas City did it. Pretty bad field position. They were successful. Tennessee went for it. They got it by just inches. But it is hard to get 1 yard. Short yardage defense, no, it seems to be, has been good. Really.
Isn't
good.
The bigger issue that teams need to stop trying to block 11 guys with 9?
Yeah.
Like, goal line packages are dumb. Like, it doesn't make sense to use a goal line package. Like, we know that spreading the field makes it more likely to gain yards. And on the most important plays, teams put everyone within a 10-yard box and try to block 11 defenders with 9 guys. It's just dumb. Don't go for it on fourth down. It's be smarter.
Well, I still think that coaches are just not taking points when they should be taking points. And it's really having a big effect. And I just don't understand. A lot of gambling this year. Doesn't seem like it's paying off. The leaders from Fantasy Week 9. 3 quarterbacks at the top were Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, and Marcus Mariota. Aaron Rodgers and Mariota. We talked about Ryan on Friday. But you guys have anything to say about Rodgers or Mariota?
Do it, Chris. Do it!
The Packers offense still doesn't look good at all. He keeps scoring. He keeps finding the end zone. 10 touchdowns in the last 3 games, so it's hard to complain about it. But he's been well under, I think, 6.9 yards per attempt yesterday was his second best of the season.
Now,
that's bad.
Counterpoint.
Yeah?
Because I've been thinking about this, and I agree. Like, passing yards per attempt is a pretty good way to measure quarterbacks. It's better than yards per carry for running backs. Mm-hmm. But the Packers don't have a running game at all. Their running game right now is throwing swing passes to their running backs. He's throwing a higher percentage of his passes short of the line of scrimmage, I would assume, than he has in his career.
Mm-hmm.
That would definitely lower your yards per attempt if you're just trying to pick up 5 yards because it's like a running play.
Okay, Matthew Stafford's doing the exact same thing.
Right.
He is the king of the short pass right now. They don't trust their running game. They use their short passing game as a running game.
Yes.
He's averaging 7.5 yards per attempt for the season.
Okay.
And where's Rodgers? So,
Rodgers, I believe, is under 7. Let me check.
Well, how about what we saw yesterday? I mean, I'm sure we all watched a lot of this game.
Rodgers is at 6.4 yards per attempt for the season.
He threw the ball deep a lot yesterday and just could not connect.
Right. Yeah, it's not that they're not trying. Like, there was a time when if Aaron Rodgers was throwing the ball 40 times a game, he would have been by far the best quarterback in fantasy.
But he's right now.
Well, now he needs to throw the ball 40 times just to be pretty good.
No, wait. He's got about 30 fantasy points 3 straight weeks.
Okay.
He's been outstanding the last 3 weeks for fantasy purposes.
I agree that, you know, he hasn't looked as good as he used to.
I don't think it's sustainable.
I think part of the problem is he's not adjusted to the step or step and a half that Jordy Nelson has lost. Because at least 2 of those passes yesterday were he had a deep cross to Nelson where he just led him by a step too much. And on a 40-yard pass, last year Jordy Nelson catches that pass. He's not as fast as he was. And then,
I don't think Aaron Rodgers is bad. I think his receiving core and his offense, it's not an Aaron Rodgers problem. I think it's a Packers offense problem.
But it's not that bad. I
just have trouble believing that he's going to keep throwing 3 or 4 touchdowns per game when they can't move the ball.
Ooh,
They haven't really been able to move the ball all that well, and then he finishes drives off really well,
he's Aaron Rodgers.
A skill because it's Aaron Rodgers, but it's just, maybe
3 or 4 touchdowns. No, that's nobody's
3 or 4 touchdowns in 3 straight games. Yes.
Yeah, nobody's gonna do that. But 2 every game. I mean, the fact that they don't run the ball. I don't know what happens when James Starks comes back. I actually think Ty Montgomery looks like a pretty good running back.
And he is a guy that's always maintained a touchdown rate that was higher than his performance should dictate. I mean, he's always been a great quarterback, but his touchdown rate's even been higher. So.
Yeah.
It's not totally sustainable. Maybe he'll adjust.
He could lose 5 fantasy points a game and still be one of the best quarterbacks.
Right.
Just from what he's done the last 3 weeks.
He's really good. I just, I have trouble believing the last 3 weeks are totally a sustainable way to succeed, but it's also stupid to bet against Aaron Rodgers.
What about Mariota? Mariota is the number 7 quarterback in fantasy right now. He's got 5 good games in a row. He hasn't had a bye, so keep that in mind. You guys buy this because it's been pretty easy competition for Mariota in these 5 games. It's been Miami, Cleveland, the Colts, the Jaguars. That was a really good performance on Thursday. And the Chargers. Now he's got Green Bay, then at the Colts, at Chicago, and then a bye. So it's not so bad coming up. You guys buy Marcus Mariota as a must start?
I think I bought it more a couple of weeks ago when he was running the ball 7 times a game, and we could count on 6, 7, 8, maybe even 10 fantasy points coming on the ground. He did get a rushing touchdown in this game, but he's kind of done it in a different way in like 3 of these different games, which is a positive and a negative. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be a borderline number 1 quarterback the rest of the way.
Okay. Let's go to Melvin Gordon and the running backs. All right, we don't have to talk about Melvin Gordon, but Latavius Murray and Mark Ingram. Now, we'll save Latavius Murray. He's a winner for Heath. But Mark Ingram, 28 fantasy points, but fewer carries than Tim Hightower, and obviously this was the dream matchup. So what do you think going forward for the Saints running backs?
This is so obnoxious. This seems to happen a lot when backup running backs get into the game and coaches all of a sudden will start running the ball more than they would with their starter. I feel like that happens a lot. Maybe I'm wrong, but anecdotally, it feels right in my heart. Mark Ingram's much better than Tim Hightower, but Tim Hightower's gotten 49 carries over the last 2 weeks. That's more than Mark Ingram's had in 2 consecutive games since November of 2014. I can't imagine Tim Hightower keeps getting more work than Mark Ingram. I also can't imagine that Tim Hightower is going away because he has run the ball reasonably well.
It's going to be a committee. And it's possible that both these guys run the ball better if they're not getting 20-plus touches a game. The problem is they're not going to have any more matchups like this the rest of the year. So they're both going to be like borderline number 2 guys.
Yeah, this is really going to be a historically bad run defense for San Francisco. It's just unfathomable. At wide receiver, Mike Evans was number 1 this week. Michael Thomas and Rishard Matthews were 2 and 3. Thomas with 2 touchdowns, including a truly awesome highlight reel catch. And Rishard Matthews with 2 touchdowns as well. Matthews, I'll look up the exact numbers, but Rishard Matthews has actually been pretty reliable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's been weird. All right, here it is for Rishard Matthews. He has 5 touchdowns in his last 5 games and 8 or more fantasy points in standard scoring leagues in 5 of his last 6 games. Now remember, 8 fantasy points in standard is about the number 24 wide receiver every week. So he's been a number 2 receiver over the last 6 weeks. So does anybody care about Rishard Matthews?
He's definitely someone that I'd look to include in a trade if I have him. His best receiving yardage game in that stretch is 70 yards.
Yeah. Nobody has him. He's like 12% owned.
Yeah, and I don't think the 2 bye natos are over. I don't think you're rushing out to go pick up Rishard Matthews.
There's 4 teams on bye this week.
Yeah, that's fine. That sounds great. It sounds wonderful, actually, to only have 4 teams on a bye. Adam, I have to talk about Michael Thomas.
Yeah, he's
that
awesome.
That catch was incredible, but this is maybe more incredible. Since the AFL-NFL merger, 2 receivers have started their career in their first 8 games with at least 45 catches, 500 yards, and 5 touchdowns.
Beckham and him?
Beckham and him.
What?
Beckham and him.
And wow. Then you look at the targets, the snaps he played. I believe 90% of their snaps yesterday. Both Willie Snead and Brandon Cooks were in the 60 to 70% range.
Oh, he's wide receiver, he's the guy on the field.
He's clearly the number 1 wide receiver there. He has 1 more target than Brandon Cook, so it's not a huge gap there, but catch rate's better. Been a little more reliable than Brandon Cooks for sure.
Doesn't
have the upside.
Here's the only thing I'm going to say about him. It's not uncommon for rookie wide receivers to fade a little bit in the second half of their rookie year. And we haven't seen teams give Michael Thomas the number 1 treatment.
Well, they can't.
But
can you do that against this Saints defense?
You can at least put your best, like, you're going to put your best corner on someone.
Yeah.
You could put it on Michael Thomas.
Sure.
No one's done that yet.
But you can't.
You can't double him, no.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather have Michael Thomas or Demaryius Thomas?
I think I'm going to have to say Michael.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think he's probably a borderline number one wide receiver.
I would value him as a number two. I would trade him though if somebody was willing to give you number one value.
Jordy Nelson or Michael Thomas?
Jordy.
Jordy's doing the same thing Aaron Rodgers is doing. Like, he's just scoring touchdowns.
Well, he had what, 70 something yards this week? He had 94 last week.
I think we're being a little hard on Jordy Nelson.
Okay.
You don't have to agree. I think, a couple of weeks ago, it was kind of like sound the alarms on Jordy Nelson. It was the Bears game, right? On Thursday night, he did nothing.
Uh-huh.
Overall, he's had a pretty solid season. He scored some touchdowns. He's given you production. He's not going to live up to what you expected, but I couldn't take Michael Thomas over Jordy
Nelson. Pace for about 1,000 yards. He's on pace for
76 catches.
Yeah, 75 catches, 1,000 yards, but he's on pace for 14 touchdowns.
I would expect the yard pace to be better and the touchdown pace obviously to go down.
No, he's at 94 yards each of the last two games.
Right. I think he's getting there. If they're going to throw this much, he's going to put up numbers.
Yeah, I'd take Jordy over Thomas.
Okay, yeah. Your tight ends, Jason Witten, Vance McDonald, and Antonio Gates. Jason Witten gets me really excited about Dennis Pitta this week against the Cleveland Browns. Dennis Pitta's had one good game all year, and it was against the Cleveland Browns. This is by far the best game Jason Witten has had this year. The Browns are awful. They don't cover anyone. They just don't
They're really bad. This might be the worst Browns team since they came back.
They're really bad. What about Antonio Gates? Is he tied to Hunter Henry? Because I don't think he had more than like 35 yards in a game before yesterday.
Henry inactive though, but Benjamin wasn't himself. Tyrell Williams wasn't himself. Like, Gates was Rivers' healthiest target.
Okay.
He's going to be a borderline number one, and maybe even after Henry comes back, but yeah, that does lower his ceiling a little bit.
All right. Well, if you want to go see the Chargers or any big game, maybe you want to go to a concert that's coming up, be there in person. Get the best value. Save $20 with our offer code FFT. I'm talking about SeatGeek. SeatGeek.com or the SeatGeek app. I've got the app on my phone. It's the only thing I use to get tickets now. Seriously, it's great. Every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop on SeatGeek with confidence. And SeatGeek brings in tickets from multiple ticket sites. That's competition. That's how we get the best deals. SeatGeek gives every ticket a grade based on value. It's a really cool feature, easy to use. You search for an event, you get the results, you find the best bargain, you buy your tickets, you get $20 back after your first SeatGeek purchase, and here's how. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code FFT, as in fantasy football today. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FFT. We're doing winners and losers, but only one of each, because I want to get into the games a little quicker today. Heat's winner is Latavius Murray, who had 3 touchdowns and caused me to tie Joe Polito yesterday in our 2-quarterback league. Damn you, Latavius Murray! Go ahead, Heath.
Yeah, the Broncos' run defense is not the formidable defense we thought it was at the beginning of the year. But still, Murray ran the ball exceptionally well last night. The Raiders, good game script. Their offensive line is blocking more like how we thought they were going to start the year than they did early in the year. They were pretty dominant. I really didn't buy into this Raiders team going into this game against Denver. Anytime you see a team that wins that many close games on the road, I thought it was a little bit fluky. They were dominant last night.
Yep.
And Murray's not going to get 20 carries, I don't think, in very many games. That's what he got last night.
Yeah, Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington still got 18 carries.
I looked at the snap counts, not of the running backs, but what I thought was really interesting was how much Clive Walford played and how much Michael Rivera played compared to at least the last 2 weeks. I didn't go back and look at everything. I just, I didn't really take a look and notice, but it's obvious. They were in 2 tight end sets, and they were running the hell out of the ball.
They had a lot of 6 offensive lineman sets as well.
And Derek Carr only threw 31 passes. So they just, look, we can't throw on Denver. We're running on Denver. They ran all over them. But Heath, you look at the 3 games now for Latavius since coming back from the injury when Rashard and Washington didn't really do much in his absence. He struggled a little bit against Tampa Bay, but at least he caught some passes. I think the workload, though, in the 3 games, the production, it's encouraging. So would you rather have Latavius or Devontae Booker?
I'd rather have Latavius.
Yeah.
Okay. Latavius or LeSean?
McCoy?
Yeah.
I'll take LeSean.
McCoy, yeah.
Okay. All right. Chris's winner is Chris Ivory.
Yeah.
No. What?
This guy is, I believe, available in 49% of leagues. We've seen him be a very good fantasy running back before, not that long ago. He faded in the second half of last season, yes, but he looked really good yesterday.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Look, he's on waivers. I'm not saying you have to start him, but
he's on waivers partially because of me. I totally have dropped him.
That's fine. No, I agree, but we're talking about the position where if you're a warm body, you're worth picking up. We're talking about picking up Paul Perkins because he had 32 yards on 11 carries, but we can't pick up Chris Ivory.
Who would you rather pick up?
Who's been good?
Who would you rather pick up?
I would guess Perkins is available in more leagues, but if I had to pick one, I'd probably rather have Ivory.
You know, it's funny. He's got a 42-yard run in two of his last three games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't think of Chris Ivory as like the big playback.
No, you don't. But he also fumbled. Not,
he is the type of back who can create for himself, though.
But he's been kind of terrible besides those two runs.
Sure. Well, not yesterday.
They've really got a terrible running game, though. This kind of feels like chasing Lions running backs last year when, you know, they had the worst run game in the NFL. It's like, and that's the Giants right now. But
well, yeah, it just, we're so quick to run and pick up every running back, but we can't do it with Chris Ivory.
I think it's because we've seen him fail more than we've seen the other guys fail.
That's fine, but that's not actually a good reason.
Well, sure. Yeah, he's played six games and he's topped 5 fantasy points in 2 of them.
How many games has Paul Perkins played?
No, but it's totally different. Paul Perkins He hasn't gotten the opportunity. And he's better. He looks better.
I thought Ivory did have a couple of nice runs in this game. Ivory does have a better, he has a history of having done this before. My main problem is just it's Jacksonville. Like, okay. I don't see a situation where he got 19 carries in this game. That's a clear outlier.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to figure out what the difference is here between this and the Giants.
Okay. Chris Ivory to me is like Rashad Jennings. If Rashad Jennings had a good game, because I've dropped Rashad Jennings in a few leagues, and you know, and you had been saying, go pick up Chris or Rashad Jennings, he's a warm body, I would say, yeah, okay, fine. Like, if I'm stalking a bye and I need to start someone, but I am not going to start Chris Ivory with any confidence. First of all, they have a two-back system. Like, TJ Yeldon is very involved.
Yep.
They're not...
Just like Paul Perkins.
I think that Paul Perkins is going to overtake Rashad Jennings. That's the thing. I also think that Paul Perkins is going to be able to catch passes. He's going to be in a much better offense. Like I said, going into this game, the Giants' offense was like 26th or something in scoring. They were 6th last year. There was no way they were going to stay this bad. That leads to production for anybody. And I just don't buy the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars stink, and I think Chris Ivory's not so good. And he's been so bad all year. He got me one fantasy point or something like that last week. So
To be clear, if I had to have a starter in week 10, I'd rather start Chris Ivory than Paul Perkins.
I agree, yeah. It's more of a... Again, like I said with Perkins, I think it's week 11.
Adam is speculating on something he believes may happen in the future.
I think it's generally something that we do, and I don't know if it's smart. I don't know if it's logically sound. This, like, we've seen the guy who's been around fail before, so let's go with the young guy.
It is very logical.
That's giving the young guy credit for not having failed
yet.
It's completely theoretical upside. But
I'm not starting this guy. I'm just putting him on my bench and hoping.
Okay.
That's the difference. Yeah, if I have to start someone, I'd rather have Ivory. But, you know, it's the same thing as I dropped Rashad Jennings in a bunch of leagues because he's been terrible. If he had a good game against the Eagles, I wouldn't have been like, oh, I'm pumped now. I'm picking up Rashad Jennings again. No, I'm going with the history. All right. Heath, your loser is Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, the Dolphins were able to run the ball against the Jets, which tells me they're going to be able to run the ball against just about everybody, which tells me they're not going to throw the ball very much anymore. Jarvis Landry he's kind of like we talked about with Rodgers and how their running game is throwing short passes. That's kind of been Landry's role in this offense, is just to provide short yardage catches. I think he could be more than that, but that's not what they're looking to do right now. I'm disgusted with the entire Dolphins passing offense. Devontae Parker clearly has no clue what's going on. Kenny Stills is inconsistent. Ryan Tannehill is not taking a step forward. I'll probably still start Landry in PPR, but
he still had 17 targets, 12 catches, and 169 yards in the two 200-yard games for Ajayi, though.
Well, Tannehill was throwing 6 fewer passes per game this year than last year.
Yeah,
I mean, he's been a guy that's basically needed closer to 10 catches to be fantasy, to be good in fantasy.
Okay.
And
he does, like, never scores.
I mean, the 7-for-91 game was a good game.
Uh-huh.
5-for-78 is not a good game. 3-for-33 is awful against the best matchup he faced.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he had 3-for-28 before that. I mean, he's had one good fantasy game in the last, and really the 7-for-91, that's giving him a little bit of credit, I think, for a good game when generally we don't consider 9 fantasy points to be a good day.
Nah, he's a PPR guy. I mean, you start 7-for-91 in PPR, it's number 2 receiver in both, but toward the back end of that in standard. Chris, your loser is Dez Bryant. What the heck happened to Dez Bryant?
I mean, we've seen a couple of games now. We've seen some really good games with Dak Prescott. But we've also seen, I think, 2 games now where he's had just 1 catch. I think Dez Bryant's still going to be very good. He caught, 4 of 14 passes last week. It's just, I don't trust Dak Prescott as a deep thrower. I don't trust him to make Dez Bryant the guy that we've seen. And I think it pushes Dez more into the borderline number one wide receiver conversation.
Okay. Would you rather have Michael Thomas or Dez Bryant?
Dez.
I'd still rather have Dez. Because there's also the slim but, you know, remote possibility that Tony Romo comes back and then Dez is Dez again.
Yeah, probably not going to happen, but I'm hopeful just like you for Dez owners, certainly. Okay, injuries, news, and notes. I'll just run through them quickly. Victor Cruz, ankle injury, doesn't seem too serious. Kenny Stills left with a concussion. Some offensive line injuries. I mentioned Orlando Franklin for San Diego. Ronald Leary has a head injury. That's Dallas's offensive guard. He's excellent. The Jets, 2 of their defensive linemen, Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson, they did not start. They did not play in the first quarter. They were benched due to a coach's decision.
Apparently they were being punished, disciplined.
Yeah. Yeah, what's up with that? Probably partying in Miami.
Yeah, showing up late to team meetings and stuff is the report.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Maybe they were partying in Miami. I would. Jets cornerback Marcus Williams left with an injury in the first quarter. Philadelphia safety Terrence Brooks, hamstring injury. Philadelphia's defense on the road has been pretty bad this year and awesome at home. If you're an IDP, Kansas City linebacker Dee Ford has 5.5 sacks in his last 2 games. Denver defensive end Derek Wolfe has a hairline fracture in his elbow, so more injuries for the Broncos defense. Green Bay safety Micah Hyde left with a shoulder injury, more injuries for the Packers secondary, and Minnesota cornerback, the captain, Captain Munnerlin, left with an injury pretty early in the game. All right, to the games, Oakland 30 and Denver 20. I thought Derek Carr played pretty well, you know, only 184 yards. They were pretty conservative, but... you know, 7 fantasy points. I don't think we can just shake this off, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to give me your thoughts on Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders?
Trevor Siemian has not looked super great lately. He was really all over the place yesterday.
He was so close to having a long touchdown pass to Emmanuel Sanders, just barely overthrew it. Sanders couldn't quite haul it in. I think I'm still probably going to start Sanders and Thomas most weeks, but
yeah,
I don't. One of them, I would expect one of them to be good.
Thomas,
I don't know which
one. Thomas has had 10 targets in 4 or 5 straight games, and it's just he's not getting it done.
Right,
exactly 10 targets every week now, and I think he's caught 1 touchdown in that stretch. No, you'll take the targets, but you know what's interesting, guys? I think I came into this season thinking a bad quarterback really can't derail a great wide receiver that much. And Denver and Houston are proving me wrong. And Houston was one of the examples of why I thought it'd be fine for Hopkins and Cleveland with Josh Gordon.
I thought Denver last year was a pretty good example
Same.
Of that.
Yeah, yeah. But these quarterbacks are playing awful, just terribly.
Yeah, it hasn't been great for those guys.
Okay. Indianapolis 31, Green Bay 26. I'm going to say this was a bonanza win for me. I think Rodgers, Gore, pretty much all of the wide receivers did fine to well. Andrew Luck was a huge disappointment. What did you make of that? Andrew Luck scored, what did he score? 12, 14 fantasy points. And
that's terrible.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Couple of really bad throws. Yeah, I mean, you expect him to be really good with Dante Moncrief back, so that's disappointing. This Packers defense is solid. He really likes Dante Moncrief, though. You know, they hook up for a lot of scores.
Who's better rest of season, Hilton or Moncrief?
Hilton.
Hilton.
Okay. How about the whole Ty Montgomery, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, Jordy Nelson mix? You know, Cobb didn't play much, but he caught a touchdown. He saved your bacon a little bit. Two catches, 14 yards, and a touchdown. Wasn't great, but at least wasn't terrible. You know, what do you make of it? How about this? When James Starks, instead of talking about the receivers, when James Starks comes back, what do you think happens with Montgomery?
That's going to be really interesting. I don't know that anyone can reasonably say they know. I guess what I would expect is that Starks is going to take Don Jackson's 4 to 6 carries, and he's going to take maybe a couple of Montgomery's carries, but they'll still run a lot of sets where they're throwing passes to receivers that are lining up as running backs.
Yeah, I would be surprised if James Starks comes in and all of a sudden is getting 18 to 20 carries a game.
Yeah.
Then again, that has kind of been the Packers' formula late in the season, is they want to pound the ball. I don't think Montgomery's somebody they're going to pound the ball with, and their offense isn't exactly working like a well-oiled machine now. So I wouldn't totally rule it out either. I think this is one of those situations where we're just going to have to see what happens before. I still think Starks is a decent stash just in case.
I can't believe the Colts won. Like, they don't win this game. They don't go on the road and beat a good team. The Colts never do that.
Well, what changed the whole... I mean, they got a special teams touchdown to start the game.
I know.
And that
know.
Changed the entire game. It's the reason Frank Gore got 19 carries in this game. I don't know. I really think that just changed everything.
Good for Frank Gore getting in the end zone twice, you know?
Yep.
I want to see what his start percentage was. I didn't write that down. But if
I would be trying to sell him.
It was really nice to see Devontae Adams get in the end zone, because it would have been a disappointing game otherwise.
The start percentages for the Packers guys: Nelson was started in 99% of leagues, Montgomery 84%, Adams 90%, and Cobb only started in 24%, which made sense.
Yeah.
Carolina 13, Los Angeles 10. And we talked about Gurley. What about Cam Newton, man? 16 fantasy points. He's just struggling. This sucks.
Yeah, I do think it was a situation a little bit where game script had something to do with that, though. I mean, they didn't really have to worry about scoring too many points against the Rams. He's not quite been himself. He missed a couple of throws in this game. But I'm still starting him.
I think he was sacked 5 times. They definitely have protection issues there.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, still starting him. But
the one thing, though, he's throwing a touchdown on 3.8% of his passes. Last year it was 7.1%. But 3 of his 5 previous seasons, he was in the 4.1 to 3.9% range. So this isn't a total outlier for him in terms of touchdown regression.
Yeah, 16 rushing yards. Look, he just didn't. They had the ball for such a big chunk of the game, too. So I was just surprised that the numbers weren't better. All right, let's start ranking quarterbacks here. Brady 1.
Yep.
Ryan 2. Rodgers 2. Breeze 2.
I'll go Ryan.
Oh. It depends. I would want to see the schedules. I'd probably still go Breeze over Ryan.
I do want to talk about Matt Ryan's schedule. He's reminding me a little of Carson Palmer. I want to look up what Palmer did in the second half last year.
He ended really poorly.
Yeah, he had the injury, though, I think, right? Matt Ryan has faced, I can't imagine there are quarterbacks that have faced a better schedule. Maybe Derek Carr. Ryan has faced an unbelievable schedule so far. I'm not discounting it. I'm just saying maybe something to consider.
Well, are we counting week 17 in rest of season?
No, I won't.
Then I'm not going to put him in number 2. Because he loses his Saints game.
Okay. Now, look at the big game at Seattle. So that was encouraging. But man, it's been amazing for Matt Ryan, this schedule so far.
The thing is, it's 2 tough matchups the rest of the year are at home. So I don't know if Arizona or the Chiefs are going to go into Atlanta and just completely shut down the Falcons' offense.
Probably not. I don't think the Chiefs I think they have a pretty average defense.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think they're league average. Maybe a little better. Saints 41, Niners 23. We talked about the running back. We really talked about the wide receivers too. How droppable do you think Willie Snead is? 92% owned.
No, I'm not dropping him. I think it's just as likely that he could have a big game next week as turn in another dud.
I still want to hang on to him for those home games.
Who would you rather own, Sterling Shepard or Willie Snead?
Snead.
I tried to make a buy low offer on Sterling Shepard. I thought it was pretty fair. I offered up Eric Ebron to a team that had horrible tight end for Shepard before the game. It got rejected. I really think Shepard could have a nice second half. I said this on the radio show on Saturday, so this was before yesterday's game when he had the touchdown. I just feel like the Giants' offense has to be better. And if it's going to be better, he has to be a part of it.
So. Yeah, they're a prime touchdown regression candidate, and we saw it yesterday.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see.
Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, Colin Kaepernick. Boy, right before the game, I dropped Colin Kaepernick for Ryan Tannehill. And I lived to tell about it. I still won. But I would have been kicking myself. Oh, what a stupid decision. But yeah, Heath, you loved Colin Kaepernick this week. Do you like him when he's not playing the Saints?
Not as much as I do when he is playing the Saints. He's going to Arizona this week. I'm not going to start him in that game. He's a guy that goes back to the waiver wire probably for 2 weeks. And then you've got, I don't think at Miami is a terrible matchup. And I don't know that it's totally dependent either on the defenses. Like what happened here was he had to throw the ball 39 times. That's not what they want to do. They want to run the ball 40 times.
Oh, he did have the one long touchdown to DeJuan Harris that was just a swing pass. That
awful.
Harris.
Just awful from the Saints.
The Saints defense is terrible.
Right.
He literally just ran past everyone. There wasn't even he didn't have to do anything.
But week 14, he's got the Jets secondary. I'm not going to hate him there. Week 15, he's at Atlanta. He's going to have to throw the ball a ton there.
He's a terrible passer, though. Terrible.
Oh, yeah, he's not a good, but he got 10 yards per attempt this game, so that was good.
Yeah,
good
it
game.
Was good. go ahead, Chris.
He can be streamable in really ideal situations, but he's not a top 20.
DeJuan Harris looked pretty decent.
He looked pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I think we were too low on him. Well, I didn't rank him, Heath. Did you feel like looking back?
I think I had him 22nd at running back. Mm-hmm. So I had him as a starting running back.
Okay.
I'm not gonna say that was bad. I mean, it wasn't as good as he was, but.
Okay. Baltimore 21 and Pittsburgh 14. Joe Flacco, you start him this week against Cleveland. I picked him up on Saturday because I own Andrew Luck. I picked up Flacco specifically to start him against Cleveland.
Yep. I'll start him against Cleveland.
Flacco's bad. It's a Thursday night game. Mike Wallace made him look good today or yesterday.
So Mike Wallace did have the 95-yard touchdown catch. Steve Smith was involved, didn't put up big numbers. Who's a better receiver for Baltimore rest of season?
Is Wallace healthy? Because he disappeared for a large portion of that game. I'll be interested to hear the press conference and stuff today because I don't know that they ever announced any type of injury that he had. But after that long touchdown, he was gone for quite some time. Maybe he just had to go get oxygen or something.
I remember reading something about it. I don't think it's anything serious.
I will take Wallace and Standard, Smith and PPR.
I would like to trade Mike Wallace if I could.
Do you think
Mike Wallace?
I have zero Mike Wallaces.
Do you think Steve Smith is a number two receiver rest of season?
No.
Okay. Dallas 35 and Cleveland 10. The Cowboys had the ball for almost 40 minutes in this game.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Isaiah Crowell.
What a weird game.
Yeah, right? Six carries for 4 yards and 4 catches for 63 yards. And Duke Johnson had 5 carries for 30 yards and 2 catches for 16 yards. So they flipped the switch there. Crowell has less than 30 rushing yards in 4 of his last 5 games. Do you have any confidence when you start Isaiah Crowell?
No, not at all. No, I started him this week in a couple of leagues, and I'm just hoping that something good happens.
Yeah, he's just kind of that warm body at running back right now.
I would guess with only 4 teams on a bye this week and them facing a really pretty decent Ravens defense that he's going to be outside of my top 25 running backs this week and maybe the rest of the year.
I don't really think you have to own Corey Coleman. I know we talked a lot about him as a stash candidate, and I get it, but Pryor is the man there. 5 catches, 47 yards, and a touchdown on 7 targets.
They both got 7 targets.
They did, but don't you think Pryor's better?
Yes.
Yes, but I don't... not like, I think Pryor is a borderline number two and Coleman's probably a borderline number three.
You think Pryor's a borderline number two? Okay, look, I guess they're going to be trailing almost every game. They're going to be throwing a lot. Maybe they can sustain two receivers.
Coleman's, I think he's a boom or bust guy. Like when he hits on a big play, I think you'll feel good about him. But
right. The big loser seems to be Gary Barnage.
Yeah.
He only got three targets.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. Giants 28 and the Eagles 23. Who's more interesting here, the Giants or the Eagles?
I was interested in Zach Ertz reemerging as a football player.
He's healthy now, right? Like that would be the takeaway. He had that rib injury. It was a fractured rib. He struggled for a long time, but he's someone that we've seen be very good. I think him and Eric Ebron are very much should be two of the top waiver wire targets this week.
Can I just say how dumb, once again, I think it is that the Eagles are too afraid of Ryan Matthews' fumbling problems to let him carry the ball at midfield, but they'll let him carry it close to the end zone?
Yeah. Ryan Matthews had 11% of the snaps, which was second among the running backs, but they all got some work, and Sproles had a lot of work. I mean, what was the Sproles had 13 carries.
Sproles played 80% of the snaps for the second time in his career. Both have been in the last 2 weeks.
So how do you value Darren Sproles going forward?
Borderline number two running back.
Yeah, it feels like the bottom could fall out at any point, but yeah, you have to view him as number two, I think.
Yeah, Wentz threw the ball a lot in this game, and he played a lot better. 47 pass attempts, season high. It was good to see Jordan Matthews get 10 targets. I don't really trust Matthews on a week-to-week basis, but it was good to see. If you plug him in.
Sure. Right, yeah. I mean, he's probably a guy you're starting more weeks than not as at least a flex. It's going to be the toughest thing is knowing what to do with Ertz now, though. Like, what, is he just healthy and they're going to start throwing it to him eight times a game again?
There are so few good tight ends that you're probably starting him, though.
You might, but I mean, again, season high in pass attempts, that helped. And he just doesn't score ever.
I'm starting a lot of CJ Fedorowicz's and and Kobe Fleeners, so I will be looking to pick up Zach Ertz and taking my chances.
Over Fedorowicz, over Fleener, sure, but Fedorowicz, that's not so clear to me.
Yeah, that one's close.
Yeah, maybe play the matchups. Detroit 22 and Minnesota 16. Do we care about the Detroit running backs? We do care about the Detroit running backs. Dwayne Washington's back in the picture. Do we care about the Vikings running backs?
They're not good. And now there might be three of them. There might be three mediocre running backs.
Yeah, I think there definitely are three of them. Like, Ronnie Hillman was the best this week. And maybe, I think it's still possible that they were working McKinnon back in. If ever they were going to have a good week, it would be at Washington this week.
Mm. Well, they don't have San Francisco, they don't have them.
Yes, right.
Marvin Jones is not a starting caliber fantasy wide receiver now.
I don't know about that.
He hasn't had a good game in like 5 weeks.
Right.
And it's not like a coincidence. The Lions drastically changed their offense 5 weeks ago. They became even more conservative. They're not having the last 4 weeks before this one, Matthew Stafford's average depth of target was 5.7 yards. That's the lowest in the 11 years that Pro Football Focus has been tracking quarterbacks.
What are we basing Marvin Jones hasn't had a good week in 5 weeks?
He scored
fantasy points.
He scored a touchdown in two of the games.
Yeah,
and he had 94.
Points.
And he had 94 yards in another one. So at least one of those was a good game.
Okay.
I think he's still a flex. I don't feel like your feelings really should have changed on Marvin Jones from week 8. So if you thought Marvin Jones was droppable after week 8, then he's still droppable.
Oh, I'm not saying he's droppable, but he's averaging like 30, 40 yards per game over the last six games. He has 253 yards.
I just don't think you hold what he does against Xavier Rhodes against him. Xavier Rhodes is taking number one wide receivers out of games.
He might get Josh Norman next week. Xavier Rhodes, by the way, completely whiffed on Golden Tate on the game-winning touchdown. Terrible attempt at a tackle there, and an awesome touchdown.
We need a name for that play, because that's like iconic.
Yeah, that's like the helicopter. I don't know.
I thought it was like a stiff arm with his butt, so I was trying to call it the stiff butt.
Oh, you mean, I thought you meant the leap into the end zone.
No, right. He stiff-armed him with his butt as he crossed the goal line.
What? So what do we call it? I think it's got to have the word Tate in it. Hmm.
No comment.
I don't know. Or golden. I guess it could have the word golden in it, right? Like that,
it could have the word. Like
that
he
would
was,
probably work.
He's been a part of a couple of those types of plays.
But I would want to point out Detroit is no longer a good matchup for opposing teams. Not because their defense is any good, but because their offense is playing at a crazy slow pace. They opened up the season running no huddle offense. They've only used it, like 1% of the time over the last 5 weeks. They've played the fourth fewest offensive snaps in that time. They're kind of like the Cowboys. They're not giving opposing offenses the opportunity to play a lot of snaps.
Detroit Lions, more like Detroit Sloths, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah. All right, guys, we're pretty much out of time. So quick thoughts on the remaining three games. Kansas City 19, Jacksonville 14. Will there be... Oh, Allen Robinson. How do you feel about Allen Robinson? Good, bad, ugly, what?
Great.
Really?
Glad he's back.
It was nice to see.
7 for 76 and a touchdown on 11 targets. Hooray. Season high in yards. San Diego 43, Tennessee 35.
I can't believe we didn't talk about Melvin Gordon.
Please pick up Kenneth Farrow, by the way, because if there's one reason to be worried about Melvin Gordon, it's that he has an insane workload right now. Kendall Wright, 45% owned. What do you think? Too hot or too high, too low, or is his porridge just right?
Just right. That sounds he's to be owned about half the leagues.
Miami 27 and the Jets 23. Is Matt Forte really a sell high or is he good?
How many more games are the Jets going to play where they stay within a touchdown?
He only had 12 carries in this game.
That's true.
Yeah, 92 yards
but
and a touchdown.
He hasn't been efficient overall.
No, he has not. I'd rather have Jay Ajayi than Matt Forte. How's that for a hot take?
I would too. That's not a hot take at all.
real close.
Well, that's it for a very fun show, a musical edition of Fantasy Football Today. Tomorrow, we might get even more music because Dave lost the bet to Jamie and he has to sing a song and it's going to be awesome. Chris and Heath, thanks, guys.
See ya.
See ya.
I'm Adam Azer. Have a good one, everybody.